ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right. We are officially the weirdest little radio show in America, ladies and gentlemen.
You think?
So, how many people come into work, both with the news, Jimmy Carter is booked on the show coming up, former President
yep,
Jimmy Carter.
On April 1st.
A former president booked on the show, and also, you and Jim have been sent to, what do we call these?
Jackrabbit.
They're self-pleasuring devices for both of you.
Uh-huh.
Directions for, along with directions in case this is unclear in any way.
I really don't need any props
for use of the Jackrabbit. Insert. Okay, well, through the center of the device. I think that's fairly clear what you would do. If you don't know how to do that, then seriously.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe. And I'm not really certain why there's wristbands.
That holds the baggie that you put it on the end of it to catch whatever.
Okay. All right. You know what? I don't.
Okay. All right.
So I got enough boy stuff going on. It's March Madness. I have a boy crazy nephew staying with me who, by the way, might be booked in the third hour if I can get him up, depending on
a boy crazy?
He's from Virginia.
A boy
crazy? So listen, UVA, I don't know if they won, but we're doing very well when Mama went to bed. Okay.
Okay. All right. Go UVA.
Right.
That's where I'm
going. All right. And then I got my usual call from Jim because I'd been up all night and I finally got back to sleep and then he woke me up to tell me he was on the toilet.
Yeah.
And I appreciate, by the way, the play-by-plays. Then he called me later to tell me he'd taken a shower. I'm like, all right, Jim, all right. Can we just see you soon, please? All right. So Jim's here. We're very excited about that.
Yay.
Because we cannot live without you. Listen, you don't have much longer of me, as you know, because, as you know, Free Speech TV is happy to sponsor a $1,000 stalker contest.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Yes. To our home studio here to meet Mama and the Mooks. This is really, really. We were all just discussing how ill-advised legally and security-wise this might be. And apparently several people have already done it.
That's right, they
Isn't
have.
That right?
So thank you for your donation.
I'm sure Free Speech has planned ahead to get a security person to bring them so they don't know where they're going and take their cell phones and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just the basic stuff that you do. For a woman alone in a home studio.
Even the White House Situation Room forgot to take our cell phones.
Yeah, we got in the situation room where they got Bin Laden, and your XLF, frog cell phone ring went off. I was like, damn it.
People don't have ringtones like that
imagine?
Anymore.
This is why you have to work for me. You
That's
never work for the president.
So 2013.
No,
can you imagine? Are we sure? He is in that Abbottabad. What the hell is that? You know, it would be great, actually, if you had thought ahead and had the Abbottabad cell phone jingle on your phone.
Abbottabad. Abbottabad. Abbottabad.
Am I going out on a limb here and saying I'm guessing that Amy Goodman got this morning, but not these.
But not that.
That's what you need our show for.
Yes. Amy got the Jimmy Carter book. You got the Jackrabbit.
So did you, and so did you. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Look at that. See, Jim? See what
it
you might have missed?
It comes in a cute little gift bag.
What you might have missed
it's
by
trying to
remaining
escape.
On a can.
It's just trying to escape the gift bag.
Jim's is alive.
Although he did send some Astroglide, which is the official personal lubricant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. I actually worn the T-shirt that Astroglide sent me in public.
You did.
I was hiking in the park, and an old man's like, what does that mean? What is that? I'm like, I don't know.
Here, let me show you.
You also worked to a spinning class.
I gotta go. All right.
What?
So this is the kind of...
slide right off the bike.
Yeah.
All right, so last week of the fun drive on... go to freespeech.org.
Yeah.
I would go. There's a fabulous Stephanie Miller swag. Don't do the $1,000 for the stalker contest.
Everything but the $1,000.
Yeah, don't do that. Because we're gonna what's that thing where you have no memory afterwards? We're gonna have to slip you
amnesia.
Something. No, something like it's a drug.
A roofie.
Yes, we might have to slip you a roofie.
Ambien?
No, that's true. They could sleep through it.
Yeah.
Right? No, you were here. You met the Mooks too. It was great. Richard, about the $1,000 donation level for the free speech. Steph, I can't wait to see the inside of your house. What are your nipples like? Oh, you know what? Seriously, Natan, seriously. Do we not have a team of lawyers or something that can... just kidding. I'm part of the 98%. I can't afford to fly all the way to Burbank from Madison, Wisconsin. Good thing I have meet and grope tickets for this Saturday at Sexy Liberal. Oh, good. So for a lot less, he'll get to assault me. Rich, reconstituted after being vaporized by crossing two sexy liberal streams 2 years ago. Oh, you don't want to do that. Don't get in between two sexy liberals.
No.
Oh, and somebody tweeted me over the weekend. Steph, maybe Steph's ex, Jodie Foster, can show her how to build a panic room.
We're in it right now.
I do have a panic room.
You know every room of the house is a panic room.
Shh.
I know.
Everybody into the panic room. I do have one. You know I do. You've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You're big. Okay. Just saying. okay. Oh, and for those of you that have just tuned in or not familiar with Stephanie Miller Show lore, there was actual, I don't even know what sites, gossip. That remember at the DNC?
That's right.
Broadcasting from the DNC. There was a lot of things in the Twitterverse that I was dating Jodie Foster, who I have never met. But we just went with it because we needed that publicity.
Absolutely.
So.
It's kind of like that
for
story.
For months, I said Jodie Foster, whom I'm dating.
It's kind of like when you broke up Bruce Boxleitner and Melissa Gilbert.
Well, that was the only
because
one
you're
and only
a
time.
Man-hungry womanizer.
It's the only time I need the National Enquirer. Melissa Gilbert, who I also have never met.
Right.
But apparently I had a slap fight backstage at my late night TV show over Bruce. Because you know how I'm just a man-eater.
Man-eater. Oh, boy, here she comes.
Wow, did the National Enquirer get that
wrong? Yeah, it was very specific, though. Remember, it got in there that Jody got us all better hotel rooms
at
the DNC. And we were seen there dating at various things. And we were like, no, we have crap hotel rooms like we always do.
Yeah,
I walked right past Jodie Foster and Russell Crowe on Sunset Boulevard once.
Really?
I didn't realize it was them at the time, but then I saw pictures and all the magazines.
Say?
And
what'd she say about me?
she is the worst.
Oh, my God.
You have the best celebrity sightings. I only see people like Paul Williams.
Wow. Did you need a microscope?
he looks like an old lesbian now.
Yeah, he always did.
Is he on the website? Men who look like old lesbians.com?
I don't know.
Along with Don Imus? I don't know who else is on there
Bruce
now.
Bruce Jenner?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's deliberate, though, I think.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Senator Franken, but I hope not anymore, now that he's a senator. That was, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can't remember. It was very... But remember, we went with that for months. I have a feeling that she kept calling Travis, would you tell her to stop saying, we dated? It is ruining my life. All right. So I did not. No, I didn't. I didn't. I've never met her, and I, you know, but we needed the publicity, so there.
Sure.
All right. Here's the latest non-development on the developing story of the Malaysian airliner.
They found an orange... something or other.
Could be the black box. Jim told us that fun fact, which I did not know.
It was square.
The black box
well,
is
yes,
orange.
They are orange, so you can find them.
This was a big square thing.
Orange is the new black box. I didn't know that till Jim said it.
Yep, they're orange.
Yeah. See,
CNN had
a
mock-up of it.
That's why Jim needs to be here and not on the can, because there would be things like that I would not know.
Speaking of cans.
Oh, thank you. Jim is just open a Frosty. It's March Madness. Just leave it alone. Okay, so Rude
I didn't know March Madness was still a thing. I thought that was a fad that... faded.
Oh, my God. It's been going on.
Really?
Just basketball.
It's March bemusement. It's not madness anymore. It's
March
a sense of disappointment and ennui.
If you didn't get the brackets right, you
right.
That.
No, NCAA fans don't know what ennui is.
My question is now what's Warren Buffett going to come up with? Right? It's like he's been taunting us with his money. If you get all the brackets right, I'll give you $1 billion.
And apparently Duke screwed everybody up.
Yes.
From what I understand.
Yeah, well, don't they always?
Well, yeah.
I have no idea what I meant by that.
They,
I wonder if Warren Buffett...
They know what you mean.
You know what you
well,
mean.
I don't know if Duke screwed him up. He hasn't been around for a while.
Thank God I have a panic room in case anyone from Duke shows up. They're probably dishing out the $1,000 right now.
They are.
So, anyway, what was I saying? Oh, I'm wondering what Warren Buffett is thinking of now, don't you think? He's like thoughtful chin scratch. If you bounce up and down on one leg on the Golden Gate Bridge. He's just taunting us with his money.
Yeah.
He's just like, dance, food, poodles.
He's got to entertain himself somehow, I suppose.
He's just thinking up crazy we need to do for $1 billion. No one was going to get perfect brackets, were they? Has that ever happened?
I don't know. It's like incredibly unlikely just because of the odds involved.
I do know one thing because I watch Fox News sometimes, so you don't have to. It's the president's fault that he's doing the brackets and watching March Madness, which is why he hasn't found the plane yet.
Right.
And Benghazi. Putin did what he did, and also in addition to Benghazi.
Mm-hmm. And right. Sean Connery says that Scotland's independence would capture the world's attention.
Really?
Just like when I left the Soviet Union in my submarine in Red October. Most things in this room but don't respond well to bullets.
He was playing a Russian with a Scottish accent in that movie.
Well, yes, but he was from one of the Baltic republics. Mm-hmm. So that could have been a Lithuanian accent.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. One of the breakaway Scottish republics.
Yes, we've certainly broken away, haven't we? I don't recognize the place.
Is it only me that has
what the hell is Bosched?
It's only me that has one dream left, that someone does a reality, like a, you know, a biopic. Like what the biography channel, right, Chris, has of The Rock, so that Sean Connery can host, so he can say...
I'm thought to be an expert in this facility. I was once a guest here.
Welcome to
The Rock.
There you go. Okay. See, it would be funny because he'd be referring to The Rock
as
the guy, not the... Okay.
Yes.
All right, I'll be back with the latest non-development in the non-developing story of it could be debris, could be a shipping container, could be...
A black box?
Could be, right, could be a brooch.
Could be a pterodactyl.
Could be a pterodactyl. All right, 17 minutes
and
after.
Leon is getting larger.
We know that for sure. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah! No, let's go crazy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Bowler to the top of next hour, Rude Pundit at the bottom of the hour. He has a great piece. CNN has lost its damn mind.
They kind of have.
I didn't, because I missed some of the speculation on the ghost plane. Everybody knows the clip about could have been a black hole.
Yeah.
That Don Lemon asked. Right. And the expert said a small hole would suck in our entire universe, so we know it's not that. The Bermuda Triangle is often weather, and Lost is a TV show. Don.
And she said that with a straight face.
Yes. So CNN or Rude Pundit explored, is CNN high? And he was watching it while he was high. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so he's thinking wormhole. Maybe a wormhole. Okay. Malaysia says the latest non-development has received new satellite images from France now showing potential debris from the missing flight in the southern Indian Ocean. This is the third set of images in a week that of possible debris in the area. They're saying it looks like a pallet, which is, they're saying, or they're used for shipping, because a lot of people are saying it could have fallen off of, obviously, it's a shipping lane. It's,
right.
Yeah. Pallets are used for shipping as well as plane cargo, and the expert urged caution, saying the sighting could be anything. Which has kind of put us back to square one. Here, I know that there was weather, there was rain and bad weather and all that, but what I don't get is how come they can't get to this faster? This is now like
because
the third time they've seen.
It takes 4 hours to fly there, and then they fly around and search, and then they have to fly back with just enough fuel. So, it's an eight-hour flight.
But you have to see
just
the
getting
ship,
there.
But you have to
and
see
back.
The ship eventually, wouldn't you, to see if. To obviously see if that's what it is, yeah?
It's like finding a tiny, tiny needle in a gigantic haystack the size of Texas.
Right, which Bill Maher had a good joke about. That's why Courtney Love might have found it, because if anyone can find a needle, he said.
Right. Okay, that is
Listen,
true.
Listen, she could be right. The amount of guessing going on, who knows? Let's see, we have the Australian Prime Minister.
We have now had a number of very credible leads, and there is increasing hope, no more than hope, that we might be on the road to discovering what did happen to this ill-fated aircraft.
Yeah, it seems like most, at least most experts that I'm seeing are saying they feel like the huge likelihood is it is in the Indian Ocean somewhere, sadly. I mean, these the families, it just breaks my heart. I mean, I know there are a lot of them saying, I still hope he's alive. I hope he's safe. I hope, and it just seems increasingly unlikely.
Unlikely.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
An aviation consultant yesterday.
They're still just images. We don't know what they're of, so we've got to get out there. We've got to get ships out there to be able to pick up what it is. They could be pallets. They could be just junk that's drifting around the ocean. So it's tantalizing. Everybody's hoping, but I just don't see much to move forward on just today.
Anyway, but yeah, and I keep seeing experts that keep saying the same thing, that we may never know. We still may never know that there's, and who's wrote the great piece about that? That's just intolerable in our, 24/7 news cycle, need information constantly kind of.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And we can get information immediately by going to Wikipedia or whatever, and this is just driving us crazy because we can't find out what's going on.
Right, right.
Why don't I know everything about everyone now, right now?
You know, I'm kind of like that. Yeah. Oh, I immediately go to Wikipedia.
Google that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wikipedia is like a font of information.
Yeah, I was just on vacation. I was saying, I remember when you could go on vacation and people you'd meet randomly weren't able to Google you.
Yeah.
And then it was always awkward the next day. I'm like, oh, boy. All right. Are they a conservative? Are they a homophobe? Who can tell why they...
What's going on?
Why they're giving me the stank eye. More importantly, Jim, what is a wormhole? Is that a possibility? What is a wormhole?
It's an idea that you could pass between dimensions. Wormhole in the space-time continuum.
Oh.
Assuming different dimensions exist.
Well, I think they're pretty sure that they do.
Wow. Scientists. That's what Roots Pundit was speculating when he was high, that maybe the passengers just have to find the right wormhole back in the universe.
I can speculate about a pizza when I'm high.
All right.
Doesn't make it real and right there.
All right. So there was lots of big gay news. Gay couples in Michigan, this was a big deal.
They could get married for a few hours?
For a few hours. Listen, civil rights and dribs and drabs. Here, do you like it? Oh, no, give me that back. Too much. It's too much. Civil rights. Day after federal judge struck down Michigan's voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage, hundreds of gay couples raced to clerk's offices across the state on Saturday morning to exchange wedding vows before an appeals court challenge that could reinstate the ban. This has the feeling of a dam ready to break, I think. Marriage equality, don't you?
Sure.
There's just a finger in the
dyke.
Mm-hmm. In the Dutch sense. Of
and
the word.
I will be that dyke. Okay.
That could be another wormhole.
Stop it!
What? What'd I do? What'd I say?
I'm trying to class this place up with a little discussion of civil rights after your Jack Wubbit. Self-pleasuring devices discussion and segment
Rubbit.
A.
Jack Rubbit. Oh, boy.
But the euphoria of the day for couples quickly turned to disappointment by late afternoon when the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati suspended the judge's ruling until at least Wednesday, when the court is expected to decide whether to grant a longer injunction while it considers an appeal filed by Michigan's attorney general. That means same-sex wedding in the state halted immediately for now. The injunction ended a 24-hour emotional roller coaster and put those couples who were married earlier in the day in legal limbo. That's why this is not going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we were married before lunch. Now we're not anymore. Oh, by the way, Scott in San Diego said, hey, Steph, I'd like to think that the last thing Fred Phelps saw before departing this earthly realm was two same-sex nurses passionately French kissing next to his hospital bed. Mm. Me too.
That sounds good.
Me too. Oh, I have to tell you, though, about the counter-protest that they did after Fred Phelps died. How about that? That's how you fight back. They had a sign that said, sorry for your loss.
Yep.
Oh, and then the other one, live your life and be awesome. There you go. Combat hate with love. Hate with love, people.
Classy with a C.
29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So what is it? Is she funnier than I am? She's certainly not younger, is she?
Cundy, we are not doing this.
Oh, we are doing this.
Max and Fred are here.
And they only slightly smell like skunk anymore.
No, they don't. What did you get to experience for the first time? Cook it on.
Cookie time for cookie dogs.
I thought
what time is it? Cookie time for cookie dogs.
You were coming downstairs saying, it's cookie time, it's cookie time. I'm like, oh, yay, cookies.
Not for you.
Stupid.
I'm hungry.
Got nothing for you. Actually, I'm making some sausages right now. You want one?
I am so up for a sausage.
I got a chicken apple sausage upstairs with your name on it.
All right. I like a sausage.
I might need to shorten this interview due to cooking time. The show has changed. Now it's become a little bit of an Animal Planet cooking show type situation.
Whatever. Combination of Animal Planet and Food Network.
Right, exactly. We all remember the morning I made pasta. Whew. Travis was not happy about being a sous chef. Whatever. Listen, people, situations are fluid. Job descriptions change.
Apparently.
Gotta go with the flow. All right, it's Monday, so one thing we know for sure.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. What kind of cookies are you making?
I don't have
They're
cookies.
They're dog cookies.
It's a peanut butter dog biscuit.
Dog biscuits? Oh.
Yes. Sorry.
I gotta be really high for those.
Sorry. I loved your piece. CNN has lost its damn mind. And who knows why it's more CNN than anyone else, because it's just the sheer volume of crazy theories, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the props.
They just keep putting them out there, you know? And that bizarro Don Lemon thing last Wednesday night was just... you sat there going, really? Really? You're pondering whether or not it's time to bring in the psychics?
You know, and my favorite is you quote Richard Quest.
Richard Quest, who was found in the park with his trousers around his ankles and a rope around his willy, and yet he still has a job.
For those of you that have just tuned in, that is actually not a joke.
No, he was found in Central Park with a rope around his willy.
Mm-hmm. And I really hope people call him Dick Quest.
Apparently that's what he was on in the park. Okay, listen, rude, that's not important now. What's important is he was the one that asked, right? He said, investigators sometimes use psychics. Why hasn't anyone consulted the service of a credible psychic specializing in missing persons? And you say you get this, right? A supposed journalist asked Jeff Wise, an aviation expert and scientist, why not use someone who think that ghosts talk to them or tarot cards or sky energy or whatever to find a very real plane with very real people on it? Yeah, it's almost the reaction of these guests is what I find the most priceless, right?
Oh, yeah. There's just this brief little stare. The Jeff Wise was great. He's also a writer for Slate, and I just loved his just dry. I think it's difficult to find a credible psychic, you know. It's like, why don't we ask dolphins, you know? Why don't we go out there and ask dolphins to go swim around there?
Well,
and nudge the debris back to Australia.
They probably would know. We just wouldn't understand what they were saying.
What's that, Flipper? Shipping container? Oh, no? Maybe it's... okay.
I ate them.
You said he had a look like, are you kidding me, you miserable excuse for a reporter? Let's just break out the Ouija board. That would be fun. You know what? That may be this week.
Yeah.
I bet you there's CNN producers listening.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I bet you they... you know, CNN could do a whole hour building up to the use of the Ouija board. By the way, if any CNN producers are listening,
yes,
get on that, you know? You guys have 24 hours to fill. That's at least a good 2 or 3 hours right there.
I love that Don Lemon says it's preposterous, right? But could it be this? It's preposterous, I know, but could it be a black hole? Bermuda Triangle? Blah, 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 right? And he was actually a former Inspector General of the United States, that question.
Right, right. Is it the Bermuda Triangle or Lost? Well, you know, of course, other than Lost being fictional... what I love about this is they're just going on Twitter, and they must just be like doing hashtag crazy crap, and whatever they come up with, it's like, yeah, let's put this on the air.
Yeah, it had reached the point of parody when you're like, is Don Lemon holding a toy plane? Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, yes. It'd be great if he just dropped it into his glass of water. To see how long it would float.
Oh, they're the black boxes. Look.
Oh.
Hey, they are orange.
Oh, let's see if the sea monkeys can help. You said the is CNN high, the rude pundit wondered aloud, and high. It's the kind of thing you talk to about sitting around with your stone friends passing a bong. Dude, it's wormholes. The plane's in another dimension, man. They're never going to find it. It's up to the passengers to find the right wormhole to get home. Yeah, it is a high conversation, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's like that's what's going on in the producer's office at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
They're just all sitting around. They're probably with some kind of laced hash, and, you know, just thinking about whatever floats in the air that day.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no information that the producers at CNN are actually smoking laced hash as they come up with the latest ghost plane idea.
Hey, we're mindlessly speculating, just like they mindlessly speculate.
We take no responsibility for anything Rude Pundit says, and we are continually shocked every week at his rudeness.
That could be it, though. You know, isn't that, you know, Chris is right. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, it's like, why are they coming up with these things? It could be laced hash. It could be, you know, something in the water at CNN. It could
be a desperate cry
for help in the ratings.
You say CNN has become your crazy cousin who sits in the corner and rocks back and forth muttering the same thing over and over again. Oh, dear. Yes, it is. All right. My other favorite piece, of course, Chris Christie's Filthy Laundry. A lot of really, you know, graphic things, Rude. I can't read on my little family radio show. But you say the most loathsome task anyone has in government in Jersey is washing Chris Christie's underwear. You're just speculating on the amount of skid marks presently due to all the unpleasantness.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want some breaking news.
Yeah. Oh, yes, please. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes. Chris Christie's lawyers did an investigation of the Bridgegate thing, and they found that Chris Christie didn't know anything about it.
That's convenient.
Wow. Yeah.
Nothing more to see here, then? Move along. Everybody move along.
Case closed.
All right.
Yep. Yep. Okay. His lawyers discovered that.
That's why they have discovery. Oh, look what we discovered. Our guy's completely innocent.
I think you meant this as a political statement, Rude. You said the thing is, once you see the stains, you can't unsee them. The aforementioned Chris Christie.
Anytime you look at Chris Christie now, what do you see? You see a traffic jam across his face.
Mm-hmm.
And
at least he's a job creator.
It takes kinds of jam that are on his face. I'm sorry, what?
At least he's a job creator. It takes at least a couple of people to fold those. There's got to be somebody that gets way to the other, like folding a tarp, you know? Just saying.
Yes. At the end of every day, they fold it like a flag.
Right. Walk toward me with the other end of the underwear.
That's it. Get your corners perfect. Place it carefully into the drawer.
Rude, seriously now. what is going to... I mean, I think that, too, that he is just too politically damaged by this. You know, you're reading that, I mean, his town halls are getting more and more combative, right? Even though he thinks
right.
he squelched
well,
that.
They had the protesters, and including, you know, the protesters weren't just there because of the Bridgegate scandal. They were also there because of potential misuse or incompetence dealing with Sandy Fund. And then there was somebody that finally asked him a direct question about his firing of an aide that asked him, you know, well, isn't it kind
Bridget
of weird
Kelly.
To fire somebody for lying to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to wonder, the big thing is one of them going to turn, right? Is one of them going to start talking or not? What do you think?
I think that probably there's got to, but if there's a loose cannon, it's Wildstein, because, you know, he came in, he was hung out to dry. You know, at this point, you got to wonder why nobody has turned yet.
Yeah.
And you know, who... Or and what are his lawyers telling them? And, mm-hmm. you know, not to get all conspiracy theory about this, but what are they being promised for their silence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wildstein, you make my heart sing.
Exactly. He makes my heart sing.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's the whole thing now about the, you know, the commercial that was, they used $25 million in Sandy funds for a Jersey Shore commercial that featured Christie and his family. That's finally being investigated because they took a higher bid from a Christie crony.
Yeah, some people still waiting to rebuild their house. That's weird. He was able to get his face on TV that quickly, huh?
Yeah, and you know, there's just more and more. The Tesla thing is starting to really stink things
up. Good.
And, you know,
as well it should.
What is that about?
So there's a rule that nobody ever enforces in New Jersey that says that car dealers can't directly sell to the public, that
like
they have to go
car manufacturers can't sell directly to the public. They have to go through a dealer.
Right.
Right. And so Tesla wanted to start selling in New Jersey, or was selling in New Jersey, and Christie appointed a bunch of people onto this motor vehicle board who said, no, Tesla can't. Let's support the car dealers, even though it's a rule. And even though, and Christie says, hey, this wasn't my decision, even though all of the people on the board are people he's appointed.
That's
and
right.
even though he has not called for the law to change or anything.
I
so there's actually contributors to him that are PO'd about that.
I smell more skid marks.
And doesn't this have to do with some kind of contributions like the owners of Tesla gave to Democrats or something like that?
Yes, that's possible, but there's also another person that was a Christie contributor that was a Tesla investor.
Oh.
Somebody that owned Tesla.
Oh, you mean it's of a theme? You mean rewarding friends and punishing enemies, that sort of thing?
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah. Who'd have figured?
Sort of Tony Soprano
guy was going to do that.
Yeah. All right, Rudeness, great stuff. We will convene with you again next week. Love you.
Bye.
All right, 44 minutes after the hour. Ken's mom is off to Madison, Wisconsin this weekend. That's sold out. Forget about it. Sorry, I brought it off. I know it's pissing people off.
I know Madison, every once in a while some tickets appear.
Oh, yeah. All box offices hold tickets till the very end.
Okay.
So a few or so whatever. I think there were a few that were available. I believe they're gone. You can check at the Barrymore Theater box office.
Yep.
And then the big one, both MOOCs coming, Chicago, April 26th at the big Chicago Theater. Got to come in for that one. We have, Albuquerque in May. Those tickets also going very fast. And then Audra sent us a new one for the June show.
Yellow.
Oh, hiya, Sandy. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I heard today on the radio. Yeah, I'm going. You betcha I'm going. This winter has just sucked. I've just been freezing my keister off with my kitty cats. Yeah, they're depressed, too. I mean, everybody's depressed. Even the damn birds are depressed. Oop, dog. Come here, Mama.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to the State Theater in Minneapolis, Saturday, June 7th, 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I already know what I'm going to wear. Yeah, I got a satin black tube top for the meet and grope. Yeah, you betcha I do.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Starring John Fugelsang, Carlos El Zaraki, and Stephanie Miller.
I'm so excited to get out of the house and party with some sexy liberals. Yeah, because it's been just a crap show here in the Minnesota.
I think my cats are happy, too.
Oh, that's good to know, Sandy. I'll see you there. Okay, then. Yeah, goodbye.
Click.
That was the weirdest one ever.
Oh,
I don't.
My God.
That's saying
something. I love them so much. They're going to be in Madison this Saturday. They're going to Chicago,
yep,
April 26th, and they will be at the Minneapolis. They're doing the three-peat.
So Jim and I can finally meet them.
Yes! They're awesome.
I wonder if they're going to bring their cats.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Did someone step on her toe?
We'll just go with it. We don't have enough money to extend the session. Let's just keep that in.
On disco.
I speculated about Prince. It looked like it sounds like someone stepped on a poodle. Or something, you know what I mean? Right? And maybe just kept that in too. Maybe someone stepped on his high heel, his purple high heel that he wears.
Well, because he's 5'3"
with heels.
Oh, sorry, Prince, you're small. Sorry. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, very very exciting. Jim Ward is here, despite starting the morning. Can I play your message? It's funny.
Okay.
Jim Ward is. Oh, and guess what? There's going to be chicken apple sausage for everybody soon.
Yeah. No, not for me.
For me, I love sausage.
Normally, I would too. But, right. Well, not. Well.
You better recover by the time we get to Chicago Sexy Liberal, because, you know, sausage, that's
pork
what it's all about, right?
You're not leaving Cook County without your sampling some pork graddocks.
Exactly.
It's the law.
Exactly. All right, this is Welcome to Mine and Chris LaVoy's Life.
Hey, it's Jim. I'm feeling sick in my stomach this morning. I'm not sure what I ate last night, but I have a feeling I'm going to be seeing it again soon.
Oh!
Well, there goes my alarm. I'll call you back in a few minutes.
Were you on the toilet?
Aw, Jim is rowdy. He's rowdy for us. So there's that to look forward to. We might be seeing whatever Jim ate again. So there's that to look forward to. And Eric Bollert.
And you can see it at freespeech.org or at stephaniemiller.com.
Right. And Jim didn't realize that someone was going to send him a jackrabbit, a self-pleasuring device this morning.
Yeah,
so,
I don't...
Right? Okay. And we have Max and Fred in the studio with us. Let's see, this one from, Kat. Hey, Steph, how about a shout-out to my big boy, Bo Biden? He wants to know if Fred wants to be his pen pal. Look at Bo Biden!
Oh.
Look how handsome Bo Biden is! Oh, he's another great parent. Look, here, Fred. There's Bo Biden. All right, listen, you're lucky I even showed up. You know why?
Why?
Who else saw the giraffe kiss the dying zoo worker goodbye?
Yeah, that was cute.
Oh, my
cute.
God.
This is just, I can't. He fulfilled his dying wish to be brought within the zoo's giraffe enclosure where he had been working for 25 years. The giraffes then nuzzled and kissed him goodbye. I can't.
Oh, my God.
That is, I watched that how many times I can't see.
And then there's that baby gorilla. Who had the mother
what?
Had to have a C-section.
What?
Yes.
You guys talk amongst yourselves. I've got to find that. All right. And in douche news, O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly on his haters. I'm not comparing myself, but people hated Jesus, too.
Oh, really? You just
God.
Compared yourself.
Wow. Well, that's what Jesus said to the disciples when they were about to write the Bible, remember?
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Oh, I got a man giggle out of Natan.
Yay.
Thank you, Natan. Thank you. I'm guessing that's going to make the highlight reel today. That's going to make the Steph video cast, which you can purchase at stephaniemiller.com. You can watch us live on stephaniemiller.com, or you can purchase the hour best of commercial-free video cast.
Well, sure.
Do it.
Jesus had the Sermon on the Mount. Bill O'Reilly had the sermon at the restaurant in Harlem.
Oh, right.
MF-er, get me some iced tea.
Jesus said that at the Last Supper, except about the wine. Remember?
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Oh, he
just
is
like
the douchiest. He is just douche-tastic, Bill O'Reilly.
What's MF-er in Aramaic, I wonder?
All right, let's go to Johnny in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Johnny.
How y'all doing?
Good, go ahead.
I find it kind of interesting that Fox and CNN and other evangelical Republicans, they so easily engage in fantastical, magical thinking to make connections between black holes and missing aircraft, or voodoo-worshipping black people in Haitian earthquakes, or liberals and gay lifestyles for Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
But absolutely no connection or even the remotest desire for any debate or entertaining the notion between blasting off entire mountaintop ranges for coal and hydraulic fracturing for earthquakes and massive crude oil contamination off Alaska and Louisiana and how we see all these dead fish and seals and washing up dolphins. No connection to that. That's all God's doing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. You don't even have to be a scientist to go, huh, so you're going to put, how do you even explain fracking? You're going to inject stuff into the groundwater.
Inject toxic chemicals into the groundwater.
Right.
So
and then assure
fire.
Everyone that it's completely safe.
Yes, it's safe. Here, you try it.
Drinking water has always been flammable, and we have always been at war with these.
Yes.
Crazy.
And they cause earthquakes.
Yeah. John in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie. We have always had earthquakes in Ohio. What's wrong with you? Hello, John.
Hi, Stephanie. I'd like to come to the defense of Don Lemon a little bit.
I actually love Don Lemon. He's been on our show. I've been on his show. I actually love him. I think he is getting blamed unfairly because this is CNN. Like they've got hours and hours to fill. It's actually getting ratings for them. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he started out the piece by saying, "I know this is preposterous," and I mean, I think if you consider the number of Americans who really believe all kinds of strange things, like they don't believe in evolution and things like that. I mean, don't they kind of need to be told that, no, it couldn't possibly be a black hole or the Bermuda Triangle or something like that?
Yeah. Bill Maher made a good point this week, John. He was saying, you know, liberals have to stop saying, I believe in evolution or I believe in climate change. It is a thing that exists. You don't have to say you believe in it or not. Right. It's, it is something that exists and you know, I think
but
you're
wormholes
right.
to another dimension are theoretically possible.
Really?
They haven't been proven.
Really? Well,
if anyone ever went through one, they probably haven't come back to tell us about it.
Well, all right. Or they'd lie. I mean, it's hard to say.
58. Max, I got one of those. I got my own wormhole out in the back.
Maximilian Schell went through one in that Disney movie. We know what happened to him.
That's the worst movie he was ever in.
58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bowler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a sausage fest in here.
See? What did I say? What did I say with the home studio this show has become? It's Mad Men. What have I been doing? Have I been preparing for Eric Bowler during the break? No. I've been up making chicken apple sausage for you. I'm serving you, you and Travis. Jim passed. He's having a tough morning.
He doesn't care for sausage.
He's having a rumbly in his tumbly. All right. And for some reason, Max is right next to me. I don't know why.
And maybe. You call him Alligator Man?
He's being like an alligator man in a moat because he's waiting for more chicken apple sausage.
You know, this is good that it's the home studio because this is how things should end for me. Just where people can sort of watch my sad downward spiral right up until
alligator
I
alligator man in the moat with the chicken sausage.
Come on, man. Okay. Listen, we who are about to die salute you, both of you, because as you know, Free Speech TV having a $1,000 stalker contest.
Yes.
An idea considered in law enforcement circles as unwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually talked to my, my friend, former LAPD security guy. Goes, yeah, that's a really bad idea. Somebody's really going to be in trouble legally.
If something should happen.
Right. Right. Just saying. Maybe not. Okay, but at any rate, you know what? I would recommend the Stephanie Miller swag at the lower levels, but they're still, you know, still will keep all these fine programming on.
You can get a lot of really good stuff for $240, right?
Better chance that I might be alive. Yes, we got coffee mugs, we got messenger bags, we got hoodie sweatshirts, we got, you know.
But do we have a SWAT team to take out any?
Right. Now Free Speech is going to have to hire a sniper for when we have the meet and greet here in the studio with Mama and the Mooks. Okay.
And Max, who is a monkey man.
Okay.
I thought he was an alligator man.
Alligator monkey man. I'm just a monkey man.
Seriously? How cuckoo banana bread am I? Right?
Yeah.
This is like...
Totes.
Right. Well, you've known me for years. So you know I'm already crazy. But I'm just saying now you're seeing me at home, which is like really kind of the...
Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm crazy.
It's close to the monkey funeral. Okay, here we go. It's Monday, everybody. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler. Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
It's like having a blow dryer on my thigh. Right here. Max is just breathing directly
right.
into my...
Gross.
Hello, good morning, Eric Bowler.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Please class up the joint for us, won't you? By the way, this I could have seen coming anytime Michelle Obama does or says anything, but you said if you didn't think right-wing media was going to gleefully smear Michelle Obama mother-daughter during trip to China, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, no, this has been 5-6 years running now. So this, you know, this right-wing British rag, which has this awful history of offensive coverage of Michelle Obama when she travels and her kids, you know, they found this, miraculously found this anonymous source at a China hotel who told them that Michelle and her daughters and her mother were rude and barking orders and, you know, just making stuff up about the first lady.
Is it a Rupert Murdoch paper? Any chance?
And, you know, it got picked up a little bit over the weekend, but this is just...
Let me get the general sense. Perhaps she's being a little, what's the word we're looking for, uppity, perhaps? Is that the...
Yeah. A little bit. And so the watered-down version, which gets more coverage, is, you know, she's wasting all this taxpayer money. She goes on all these
right.
vacations. You know, and the wonders of Google, I happened to search last week, and Laura Bush, in 8 years, spent, I think it was 72 days on international travel. And I never saw one article, nor did I think it deserved one article in 8 years.
Yeah.
Adding up her, you know, the expenses. And I think Michelle Obama in the first term, I think.
And you know,
yes, but she's white.
You know,
it's different.
from.
Right. I mean, you know, Jim jokes, Eric, and, you know, again, you don't want to cry racism about everything, but again, you go, what's different here?
After it's hard to come up with an alternative narrative. You try to be nice to these people for a while. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's president while being black. You know, it's being first lady while being black. And, you know, and I don't want to dwell on that, but, you know, she endorses this completely feel-good campaign to address childhood obesity, which has been successful either through her work or others because, as the New York Times reported this winter, a drastic decrease on the two to five-year-olds in terms of childhood obesity. And she gets attacked for that.
Yeah. Coincidence.
I mean, so anything she does, it's Obama derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And after a while, you do look at it and you say, what's different about these people?
But, you know, Eric, it's more insidious than that. I mean, you know, let me go out on a limb and say, I bet you Rush Limbaugh called her Moochelle again, you know, when talking about it last week. You know, when Paul Ryan says, you know, inner city and culture and, you know, as Barbara Lee out here said, just say what you mean black.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, and somebody wrote a great piece, Eric, about how this is the Republican Party. This is not one guy. It goes back to Ronald Reagan and welfare queens. And remember he said there was a thing, he said, you know, some young bucks in front of you using food stamps to buy a T-bone while you're waiting in line with hamburger. I mean, you know, this is not even, it's not even dog whistle at that point.
Yeah, right. And as I think we talked about, there used to be sort of this whistle approach, and now, you know, that's been way too subtle. And I think the emergence of the Tea Party, and they're not interested in subtlety and things like, So, again, you know, after 5 or 6 years, it becomes difficult to come up with an alternative rationale or explanation to why, you know, the travel expenses of this first lady, you know, is deemed to be the subject of hysterical coverage when previous first ladies traveled more. I mean, so what is it about her? You know, you fill in the blank.
By the way, you tweeted about a story I was reading this weekend. Matt Drudge is probably lying about paying a huge Obamacare liberty tax, as he called it, right? Tell us this story.
Yeah, and, well, he put out this tweet on Friday. It said, oh, I'm doing my taxes, and I'm paying a penalty because I'm not doing Obamacare. And he goes, I'm calling it the liberty tax. And a couple people pointed out that, you know, no penalties go into effect until you pay 2014 tax.
Yeah,
right.
And then he pushed back. He says, "Oh, you know, I'm a small business, so I do quarterly." And then people said, "Well, you only do quarter. This only applies if you have 50 or more employees." You know, Matt Drudge really has 50 employees putting out. And then as I tweeted, as someone pointed out over the weekend, this liberty tax. This crippling liberty tax for Drudge would be $95.
loved your other tweet. GOP parrots like Krauthammer and Dan Henninger cheered Iraq war, a debacle, sat on hands when Putin invaded Georgia, and now condemn Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it is so incredible that they parrot this, oh, his weakness has allowed this to happen.
Right,
and didn't hear
And what's interesting, as Media Matters has pointed out, with Krauthammer and Henninger from the Wall Street Journal, who also appears on Fox News. So both of them we've documented without a shadow of a doubt, just this massive flip-flop, massive hypocrisy. You know, when Putin under Bush invaded Georgia, again, that was a war. Hundreds of people died, tens of thousands of refugees. And so Krauthammer and Henninger and other people, they just sort of, Krauthammer says, he went on Fox, he said, there's nothing we can do. You know, Russia's going to retake this territory. There's nothing we can do. Et cetera, et cetera. Henninger, as Media Matters pointed out, wrote an entire column about Putin invading Georgia, and Bush was never mentioned. The White House was never mentioned. The United States was not a player. And so now there's this massive flip-flop, and, you know, Media Matters has documented the hypocrisy. But it's interesting. They just double down, and they just keep – it just keeps getting worse, and because they realize they're in this bubble. No, they're never going to have to answer on air or anywhere else about this huge hypocrisy. And that's for them, the comfort and the joy of being a full-time employee of the right-wing bubble. You can just flip-flop all you want. You can be caught making these embarrassing differences of opinion depending on who's in the White House. But no one's going to ever call you out on it on air, so you just keep doing more and more. So Krauthammer and Henninger, double down. You know, this invasion is all Obama's fault. It just proves how weak America is. And then they just flush down the memory hole the fact that we just went through this in 2008.
Eric, love your piece. Conservatives can't stop making Nazi references.
Yeah.
It's that season again. I mean, it's incredible when you, like, put together all of them, though. Because it's not
right.
One
so
person.
I'm on front of the computer just like everyone else all day. And then, you know, I see these references. And I think, geez, you know, we had the billionaire writing to the Wall Street Journal talking about how, you know, the war on the 1% is reminiscent of the anti-Jewish riots. You know, the Home Depot billionaire, who's a big Chris Christie fan, saying, you know, what you're seeing now is like Germany in the 1930s. And you see these other things sort of pop up, and you're like, wow, this seems like a lot. And then you go to Google. I had at least, from last fall to now, I found at least two dozen examples.
Yeah, I love the one I had not seen is Fox News. Dr. Ben Carson claimed America is now very much like Nazi Germany.
Well,
that it has a government.
It's like Nazi Germany, and it's like slavery. You know, he's in between. You know, he's a historian, so he does. You know, he wants to get these things right. Yeah, just amazing. And what did he say?
By the way, what is he a doctor of? Not a,
the sad part, he's a brilliant brain. He's a neurosurgeon. I mean, it boggles your mind that someone could be that bright and then so obtuse at the same time.
Right.
So, and then he was defending his comments about Nazis, and he said, well, you know, it is like Nazi Germany because if you speak out against the Obama administration, you know, you could be called names and you could be audited by the IRS. And it's just like...
Not quite the same as a concentration
camp. You know,
yeah, a little bit different.
Spend 3 hours at the Holocaust Museum and get back to us.
Yeah.
Are you really suggesting...
But I mean... Right.
That the extermination of the Jews was about auditing people. I mean, it's so insulting, and it's so offensive.
Well, and you go down, like, you know, Ted Nugent, IRS, that's his Nazi, you know, that's why it's just like Hitler. Pam Geller said it's just basic ongoing persecution of Republicans. It's just like Hitler, the Home Depot as compared, you know, obviously talking about income inequality to what Hitler was saying in Germany. I mean, they can take any subject, can't they? Mike Huckabee last week warned abortion rights could lead to a Nazi-style termination of elderly people in America.
Right. And two things to me are interesting. One, it's all born out of this persecution fantasy that they live in, these Obama persecutions. That's why the IRS to them is so, you know, is so important, and it's been almost a year, and they talk about it incessantly, because to them, that's the realization of this persecution. Obama has sort of deputized the IRS to silence and go after conservatives. So, I mean, they've
right,
been
they're
living
the, they're
with
the
this,
SS, obviously.
They've been living with this fantasy, so here they take these scraps of information and blow it up into something. And the other thing that's amazing is, again, you know, we're 6 years into this administration, and it's weird to me the anti-Obama hatred and the frenzy and the hysteria is actually, I think, more pronounced now, 6 years, than it was. And, you know, hey, I admit, you know, there were people during the Bush years who said some stupid things, and there were people who, you know, used the Nazi analogy, and I always hated it, and I didn't think it was smart. You know, if you go back and you look at the progressive movement, it's in the sixth year of Bush's presidency, people barely even cared about George Bush. I mean, there was not a movement to hate George Bush 6 years into his second term. He was a failure. The focus was on trying to end the Iraq War. The focus was trying to elect a new president. If you look at the right wing today, they only have one objective, which is their Obama hatred. But to me, it's weird that it's even more
energetic and pronounced now. Right, when you thought it couldn't get worse.
For their 6 years of activism.
Yeah, you thought they'd be like the toddler in the Walmart parking lot, that they would just, you know, stop spinning at some point. Like, oh, my God, really?
Or, you know, they would look ahead to the next presidential campaign. Yeah. Or they would try to, you know, direct their energies and activities elsewhere. But they really don't. I mean, it's the sum of the parts, which is just to attack Michelle, attack Barack Obama. And then at the end of 8 years, they're going to have absolutely nothing to show for it in terms of a movement.
Yep, absolutely. Eric, great stuff as always. See you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, there he goes. Bye-bye. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, kids, Mama off to Madison, Wisconsin this weekend for the it sold out a zillion years ago Sexy Liberal Show.
Yep.
Yep, but then up next. Oh, wait,
dear
up next.
Republicans.
Hang on. Up next, Chicago. Sorry. April 26th, the big show with the Mooks.
Yes, we are going there.
And then after that...
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
Yeah, yeah. And then June 7th at the State Theater in Minneapolis. Go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal Facebook to get the correct links. Do not go to these scalpers or scam sites. We want you to get the right sites. All right, 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Max, go wake Uncle Paulie up. This is how we do the booking around here. My nephew's sleeping.
He's roust him out of bed.
We'll do Ask Steffi's Nephew in hour number three.
Pull him off the hooker.
He is not on a hooker. He played one of the holes who fired everybody in Walter Mitty. And he's working on a new project with Ben Stiller. He's a brilliant actor and writer. And the cover of the New York Times Magazine just yesterday was about bi guys. He's a bi guy.
He's bi. Like
bi.
One of the true bi guys.
Right.
Bi.
I've known him to date guys and girls.
He has a fabulous, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, he's... at any rate, what was I saying? Oh, he has a fabulous, hilarious script about that, that he is... shopping around, as they say in Hollywood.
Ah, is that why he's here? Staying with
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. Watching March Madness endlessly. All right. And, oh, we'll talk about him leaving the oven all night the other night. Okay. Another roommate squabbles.
Your okay. oven is oh, a little hard to turn
oh,
off. It's got a lot of like...
Oh, and I borrowed his copy of Her, the movie, on vacation, and I left it in the DVD on vacation. All right. So, you know, we're... Typical roommates. All right. 1-800.
Your oven has a lot of buttons.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I mean, it's sometimes hard to turn off.
Andrew, and me thinks that you must have left the oven on when you've stayed here before.
Maybe once. I made a lasagna.
I'm sending that gas bill to all of y'all. Andrew in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Two things.
Yes.
First of all, what if Rose Flair Mary gets the 1,000 donation?
Oh, boy. Jim will need added security.
And then the other thing is that during Bush's administration, liberals and Democrats were after him because there was the Little Bush cartoon, and then there was That's My Bush sitcom on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, it was all over the news and media. We were making fun of him. We were making him look like monkeys and stuff, and I was laughing with
well,
it. Just
he did. Bush,
not,
if you looked at Bush or Chimp, BusherChimp.com, he looks a lot like a chimp. I'm just
now,
saying.
Yeah, he does.
I do see your point, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, people make fun of every president. But I think. Oh, he's done. He'll take no further. He'll take his answer off air.
Once he got someone on the staff to agree with him,
wow.
He's like, well, then, my work is done.
We're just done here.
My opinion is irrelevant here. Fine. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, all right. Oh, we're out of time. I'll address that after the break. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you two have to imitate everything you see on...
Stephanie Miller.
We're 12, so yes. Chalk.
Oh, I can't believe I cooked chicken sausage for you this morning, and now what did I do? I just booked a guest for the 8 o'clock hour right on my cell phone.
You rousted your nephew out of bed.
Yes. I said, today's better. Get up. Sorry, what's up?
Yeah, lipstick or something on your teeth?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for that. Okay. He's also he's shirtless. I think I may make him stay like that. You know, tart it up for Mama.
Good Lord, thank you.
Not for me, you know, for the audience, for the viewing pleasure. My nephew's hot, is he not?
He's very attractive.
Smoking hot. I mean, he is from the South. I don't mean that in that kind of, with a Southern relative kind of way, just, you know, in a general sense. All right, so that's coming up. He'll be commuting down two staircases. All right, you know, it's hard to necessarily take seriously. This is going to be like a meme, I think. Malaysian authorities say. Kind of a way of going, could be true, maybe not. It's like Fox News reports.
Right.
Malaysian authorities say has become the news Fox News reports. I think, like, you need air quotes. But hard to say. I don't know. Jim, what's your take on that? Is it, once again, are we back in the Bush administration? Is it incompetence? Is it evil? I can't say. You don't know if the misinformation
still
is deliberate or
enough
it's...
about this.
Yeah, but they keep making statements that then, like, go, oh, no, sorry, that was wrong, like, a day later or hours later, whatever, but...
Could be trying to cover up something.
Right,
or... We don't know what it is.
Could be just incompetence, I don't know.
That could be what they're covering up.
Well, they're not doing a very good job of that.
Yep.
Malaysia's prime minister will make a live statement on the missing...
Already did,
and said, essentially, that the last position was over the Indian Ocean.
Indian Ocean.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's obviously becoming the consensus. It's just a question.
That's according to British authorities.
Right.
Yeah. British intelligence authorities.
Yeah. So now we have, this is the third report, satellite images of objects, and they don't know yet what it is. Could be shipping containers, or it could be debris from the plane. They're not.
Or wormhole to space-time.
An orange rectangular object, though. That sounds black boxy to me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
are they designed to float?
Or it could be an orange shipping container.
Except the shipping container is a lot bigger than the black box.
A traffic cone?
They didn't say how big the orange box was.
Yeah.
But shipping containers are gigantic.
Right.
But orange is the new black box. That's what we just learned from Jim on Friday. I did not actually know that till Friday, that the black box is not black.
It's orange.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So
all
you
right.
can find them.
Okay.
But the black aspect is that you don't know what's going on inside.
Right.
You have to open it up to... It's black, like as in black ops.
Oh, but, good to know.
But they're actually orange.
Thank you, Jim, for coming in despite your rumbly-tumbly this morning, because you add a lot to the show. Not that you don't, Chris. All right.
I'm just here. I'm surprised you didn't ask me to take my shirt off.
Well, listen, if I could get both of you two, well, let's get a little beefcake going in the third hour here.
God.
You and my nephew can have a peck off. All right.
I might win.
We've got to see him. Got to see him. Show Mama the ease.
You just said that about your nephew.
No, yours.
Oh.
Yours. I've seen his. I gave him a bath when he was like 5.
He didn't have pecs then.
By the way, he's only like 8 years younger than me. Just
right.
All y'all's keeping track.
Yeah.
Okay. President Obama told Democratic donors that Democrats tend to get clobbered in midterm elections in order to win in November. They need to turn out the vote, which is what we have been saying. I mean, this is kind of a given, but he said... He told attendees at this fundraiser, Americans agree with Democrats on every issue. How often do we say that? But that Washington politics has become so toxic they aren't voting. He said that's especially true during the midterms. During presidential elections, young people vote. Women are more likely to vote. Blacks, Hispanics more likely to vote. Suddenly, a more representative cross-section of America gets out there, and we do pretty well in presidential election. But in midterms, we get clobbered, either because we don't think it's important or we become so discouraged about what's happening in Washington, we think it's not worth our while. And we keep saying this over and over again and now Nate Silver, who, by the way, as we've said many times, was the most accurate pollster.
Thinks in binary. 101111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111111
He became something of an anti-anxiety pill for worried Democrats, remember? Now predicts the GOP has a roughly 60% chance of retaking the Senate in the 2014 midterms, which would be, in my opinion,
disastrous.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible. He said his best prediction saw the GOP taking 6 seats, the exact number they'd need to have a one-vote majority. However, that prediction was a plus or minus 5 seats, meaning the Senate could be relatively unchanged, or the GOP. I mean, that's how close this is going to be. That's why turnout is so important. And I think basically that was his point, is if the turnout is what is the president was talking about, yes, that's why this is so important.
And if the votes are counted correctly, but we don't want to hear about that because
he is underwhelmed by the prospect of a Scott Brown New Hampshire victory. He's giving Brown a 1-in-4 chance.
Yeah.
The senator folds carpetbagger that is going to New Hampshire.
Senator.
Right.
I'm lucky in that my polling place is like just right down the street.
Yeah.
It takes me like 45 seconds.
Yeah. No, me too. Me too. I felt guilty last election because it took me, I'm going to say, less than a minute to vote. And then you looked at all these lines in, places like Ohio and Florida. And it is. All right. Here is John Carl and Nate Silver on ABC's This Week.
This is the drum roll.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans need 6 seats. What's the projection? How many are they going to pick up?
I'd say exactly 6, but it's probably 6 plus or minus 5. That means it could be.
They could pick up 11 seats?
They could. Yeah.
What you're basically saying is a 60% chance that Republicans win the Senate.
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's why it is important. Turnout.
Yes.
And I hope that motivates people to get out. Jim, who said, send me a Congress in 2014 that wants to build a road. Send me a Congress in 2014 that cares about the middle class. Send me a Congress in 2014 that will help me create jobs and fight global warming. Then and only then will we get things done. Who said that?
Chris Christie.
No, that was a bad guess. That'd be President Obama. Who said that? It's be President Obama. Okay. That's why we're out there with Sexy Liberal in the election year. Let's go, people. Let's go. Let's go. As they say in Philly, let's go.
Go.
Let's go. Let's do it.
And Poconos. Let's go to the Poconos.
Yes.
By the way, when you say Poconos, just saying the Poconos.
I just think I'm going
to
vibe.
I have a flashback to throwing up about 75 times going to summer camp in the Poconos. It's very windy. Very windy.
I went skiing there once.
Don't say it. Don't say Poconos.
I just think I'm going
to
vibe.
It's also very hard to find liquor in Pennsylvania, I discovered.
Really?
Yeah, you have to go to state-run stores there, and even for beer. And they're just hard to find, and they don't keep normal hours.
Right. Yeah. What's the point of it?
Exactly.
Right?
You can buy beer right now. It's over. Window closed.
Okay. Here. All right. Madeleine Albright wrote a piece about the Ukraine. She was, as you know, Secretary of State, everybody.
She knows a little something
right?
about something.
Right. She said when President Obama and European allies meet next week, that's this week, they can begin forming a meaningful response to Vladimir Putin's adventurism. This new strategy should note that Putin's view of the world is rooted in dangerous fictions. Here's a good one, Jim. You do a good Churchill. Churchill said Russia was a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
Mm-hmm.
Under Putin, Russia's...
Wrapped in bacon.
Wrapped in a vest.
He did not say that.
No?
Under Putin, Russia's rhetoric can be described as a fantasy inside a delusion wrapped in a tissue of lies.
Ah, nice.
Or a throne of lies.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Right.
You sit on a throne of lies.
All I know is Putin's pants constantly
on fire.
On fire. And he only wears pants because he's often shirtless. So you know he will have pants on and they will be on fire.
His pantalones are en fuego.
All right. Martha Raddus and the Ukraine foreign minister.
Mr. Foreign Minister, 1 week ago you told on this broadcast that you thought the chances of going to war were quite high. What are the chances this morning?
They are growing. We don't know what Putin has in his mind and what would be his decision. That's why the situation becoming even more explosive than it used to be a week ago.
We were saying this last week while everybody's obsessed with ghost plane theories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. World War III. Hello, people.
Yeah.
We said last week, unless Toy Lemon...
Damn you, John meddling Lemon, kids.
Unless Don Lemon gets toy soldiers, this will not be covered, what is happening. There are troops massing on the... Russian troops massing on the border.
Yep.
Representative Mike Rogers yesterday...
He goes to bed at night thinking of Peter the Great, and he wakes up thinking of Stalin. We need to understand who he is and what he wants. It may not fit with what we believe of the 21st century, but that's not who he is, and that's not what he's trying to accomplish. We need to be a little bit tougher with this, with Putin, or he is going to continue to take territory to fulfill what he believes is rightfully Russian.
I don't feel like Stalin. I want to go right now.
By the way, if he goes to bed thinking of Peter the Great and wakes up thinking of Stalin, he is gay, gay, gay.
At least think of Catherine the Great.
No one thinks about or talks about stuff that much unless you're, yeah. Okay, Representative Rogers again.
You can do non-combatant military aid in a way that allows them to defend themselves, and that's all they want. No direct military action. They don't want U.S. boots on the ground. Neither do I. I don't think you do either, nor does any other American. But what we can do is offer them things that they can use to really protect and defend themselves. And I think that sends a very clear message. We're not talking about even complicated weapon systems. We're talking about small arms so they can protect themselves, maybe medical supplies, radio equipment, things that they can use to protect themselves.
What a beautiful day in the Ukrainian neighborhood. Beautiful day in the Ukrainian neighborhood. Will you be mine?
Die, you will be mine.
See? Just whip that out of nowhere.
Yep.
See? Just like I whipped out that chicken sausage for you out of nowhere.
That was delicious.
Boom.
Sausage.
Boom. All right, Laura Ingraham, Fox News.
We spent upwards of $2 trillion in Iraq, right? We don't have a lot to show for it. We are stumbling still in Afghanistan. American people, I mean, we can talk about we should do this and we should do that. And I understand that. I really do. But we have a country right now where the people look around and say, wait a second, why do we only seem to care about borders and sovereignty when there are other countries' borders and sovereignty?
What? She was one of the biggest cheerleaders for the
Iraq War. Yeah.
Right.
What happened to that? Now she's complaining about
us caring about things in the White House.
Right.
Oh, what a flaming hypocrite Laura Ingraham is.
What a great voice she has.
It's the black guy's fault. He planned in advance.
You didn't just get that sound clip so that you and Jim could do the Laura Ingraham orgasm, did you?
I got it because she's a flaming hypocrite.
Well, all right. Yeah. I wasn't trying to set you up for that.
Yeah, that's in the past.
Now I'm hard to the right.
Hair.
Follow my hair. Hard to the right, just the right, not the left.
Okay. All right, the Stephanie Miller Show has no extra information that Laura Ingraham wants her hair pulled during sex, we're just saying.
But she probably does.
All right. New economic sanctions are driving Russians to drink. Like they need a reason. It's da sanctions.
You're driving me to drink.
Russians have a new reason to hoist a glass these days. This is according to the popular Russian post on Twitter, the toast du jour is to the U.S. sanctions. It's not clear whether the imbibing is due to joy or despair. But again, you don't really need a reason in Russia. Sure, happy, sad.
Or maybe Russia's finally getting a sense of irony.
That could be.
Vodka is not just for breakfast anymore.
All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you? Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Our guest all next hour live in studio, my tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald.
He's not tiny.
By the way, he can. We can also do ask Steffi's nephew on, if you want to know what it's like to to live with all this magic. Oh, here's another. I have another story about why.
I imagine it's probably incredibly neurotic.
Right. A little bit anal. A little bit.
That's what I imagine it to be.
He tends to leave lots of bits of food around the sink.
And that drives
in the kitchen
you
sink.
Crazy.
Yeah, drives you crazy.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Oh, you're one of those.
Uh-huh. Oh, here's another story about why I should never leave my house. And when I do, what happens? It just goes badly, Jim. I went Friday night to the taping of the season finale of Mom, the fabulous CBS sitcom starring Allison Janney,
yep.
who is amazing.
And Anna Faris.
And Anna Faris. They're both amazing yep. in it. I went with our friend Melissa Fitzgerald, who's obviously a good friend of Allison's from being
West
on
Wing,
West Wing and a bunch of other people.
Allison played her boss.
Yes. Yes. In real life, Melissa's the boss of her and all of us. However... However, so I don't often get invited to these things, so I went to a taping. And, you know, it's Mama eats early because Mama goes to bed at...
At stupid o'clock.
And gets up at...
Insane o'clock. And so you eat at, like, 4:30.
Right. So I was... Mama was nervous.
It's the Blue Plate Special.
Mama was nervous because, you know, these tapings can go on for hours. So I brought some snacks. Mama brought little bags of snacks.
Snacks.
Gorp? Like, little things of Gorp?
No Werther's.
Oh, okay.
However, A, I'm told they were very loud snacks, which I was really trying. I was really trying to chew, but because you don't know when exactly they're going to start taping again. I thought it was in between, but I'm told by friends that it was not. It was during the taping. And then also, I brought cheese, but I was in a hurry, and I didn't realize that it was the really stinky cheese.
Stephanie!
And so some of Melissa's friends like looked at each other like, dude!
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no, it's stinky
it's
cheese.
It's cheese that just came out of my ass.
Mm-hmm. So this is why I'm not invited anywhere, and I really can't leave the house.
Cheddar. That's a nice portable
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah, cheddar travels well.
I didn't have time.
One of those little
hurry,
baby bell things.
I know. I didn't plan ahead.
No, I don't.
Limburger? You brought Limburger to a TV show taping.
Let's see. It starts at 6. That's already past Mama's dinner. Let's see. Okay.
At the grocery store right over here, they sell little snack boxes that you can...
Thing. All right.
Oh, God.
All right. So, look at this. Just in time. Because you know what? It all magically comes together anyway.
With Mom
the cover
along.
Of the New York Times magazine yesterday. Looky there. Bisexual male seeking like-minded friends and legitimacy. How a new breed of activists is using science...
Science!
...to prove that there's something real between straight and gay.
Science!
All right. My nephew is a bi.
He's a bi.
And he has...
What a bi.
He has a fabulous...
He's the B in LGBT.
He has a hilarious, fabulous script about that. Ben Stiller is producing. He was just in Walter Mitty
mm-hmm.
with Ben Stewart. He played one of the wads who fired Ben Stiller and everybody else at the magazine.
I haven't seen that yet.
Well, you need to see it.
I did not know that
and
your
I told
was
him
in it.
He is a great actor. He played a really, really good role. And he, in real person, in real life, he is delightful, as you will see in just a few minutes. All right. All right.
Is he going to be cleaned up in time? Or
yes.
is he going to have total bedhead?
He was. It's March Madness. He was up late. He's had no shirt, and he was looking a little scruffy. He's getting cleaned up now.
All right.
It's all right. I just texted him. Get up! at least this hasn't happened thus far while he's been staying with me. He lives in New York, but he stays with Mama sometimes when
right.
he's out here. Okay.
Like for pilot season and stuff.
Right. Actor stuff. Whatever.
Yep.
Man comes home early, finds obese orgy. I have not... this has not happened yet.
Hmm.
Oh, this is that Airbnb story.
Well, I'm going to Madison this weekend. You never know what
yeah.
Mama will find. A man who rented out his New York apartment found quite a surprise when he came home. An orgy involving overweight people. When he came home, he says he found garbage, beer bottles, and obese people on the floor, plus $67,000 in damages.
Oh, wow.
So compared to that, I guess a little bit of, like, food shavings in the sink.
Someone's not getting their deposit back.
Cisco in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cisco.
Good morning. I'm one of the mathematically challenged. Maybe you guys can help me out on that. Nate Silver, Jonathan Carr thing.
Yep.
I saw it yesterday
yeah.
watching the Yacht Shows. And he said the margin of error was plus or minus 1 to 5.
Right.
Well, if it's
the margin of error was plus or minus 5. Right.
Doesn't that mean they only pick up 1 seat?
No.
No, it means when you do all the math, what it means is there is a 60% chance of the Republicans taking over the Senate, getting the 6 seats that they need, is what he was saying. So, I mean, but I think he also said it does depend on turnout. I mean, this is why these are cautionary
right.
tales. What he said and what the president said, it will be very close, and they absolutely could do that if we don't turn out.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying stay at home and not turn out, but if we do get a turnout, we can keep the Senate.
Yeah, exactly.
And
well,
Jonathan
I think,
Carl went immediately, oh, my God, they're going to get 11 seats.
No, he said they could get as many as 11. And Nate Silver said, yes, that's true, because that is within the margin of error.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But I don't think so.
But they could lose as many as 11.
Right.
Or
so
they could slip
or minus.
Through a wormhole in the space-time
yes,
continuum.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jim, for bringing the wormhole back.
Don Lemon's briefcase.
Kenny in New York, 30 seconds. Hey, Kenny, go.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Thanks so much for your show.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I love it. I'm totally entertained.
Thank you.
I just want to say that whenever I hear that it's because Obama's black, I really think it's because he's a Democrat. I mean, look at the way they treated Bill Clinton and Hillary. You know, they killed Vince's boss. Something about the travel.
No.
Go back to Jimmy Carter, for God's sake. They released the hostages the day after Reagan was elected.
No, right. I mean, all points well taken, but yes. I'm just saying it's different. Obama derangements, and a lot of stuff is blatantly racist. You know, we don't call racism on everything, but the stuff that's blatantly racist, yeah.
And go back to Jimmy Carter, who will be on our show on April 1st.
Hey.
Ooh.
April Fools.
My tiny baby nephew coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
Aw, now the whole family's here. Oh, it's like magic. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Look, everybody, it's my tiny baby nephew.
Oh, my goodness.
Paul Fitzgerald.
So good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
In case you're wondering, yes, everyone in the family wears baseball hats all the time. We were all born with them.
Didn't have a chance to get through the shower this morning. I went to hair and makeup, and they weren't in.
You were disturbed that there was no craft services.
No, the craft service guy was on a break.
That's right.
No one sent
my nephew, fancy actor boy.
And my car and driver never showed up. I just had to patter down here and throw a baseball cap, and here I am.
If you saw Walter Mitty, by the way, he was one of the bearded holes who fired everybody, including Ben Stiller at Life Magazine. He's beardless now, as you can see.
Oh, great. Now I can see it now.
A great point of reference. I was going to ask you, I cuss like a sailor. It's unfortunate.
Right.
I wasn't raised that way. But so I was going, are we on a delay, or do you beep it out, or what can I do? Because, and I'm going to try to clean up my ass.
Just don't do it.
In the event that I slip.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's
don't
better
it.
For everyone.
It's okay. Better for everyone.
I find it difficult to be as expressive as I would like without being able to cuss. Is that
it may be because F&A. He's only about 8 years younger than I am, and so when he swore as a little boy, I would, of course, giggle. Don't do that.
Responsible in so many ways for me being here this morning. She puts a roof over my head. She's my patron saint. She's like my Medici. I'm like
many, many subjects to cover this morning. We can do ask Steffi's nephew what it's like to the magic of living with Mama.
Oh, goodness.
You're going to spill the dirt this
I
morning.
I never know what I'm allowed to say and not say.
You can say anything.
I guess I can.
No, I give you permission to say anything.
No delving into Mama's personal affairs. Just...
Mama. No opening up the nightstand drawers or anything like that. No.
Ooh, Mama and nephew in the Barker lounges with our TV dinners watching.
Is that all it is?
Lawrence Welk.
We are. We have twin Welk. We're going to be. We've decided we're going to be buried in those Barker lounges together.
We love our side-by-side Barker lounges.
Yes.
It's almost
Paul
like the
Fitzgerald
bathtubs in the Cialis commercials.
My oldest sister's Libby's boy. And he is a fabulous, talented actor and director and writer. And so we were saying, I mean, really, what are the chances? Because you're leaving. You're going back to New York this week.
It's like I planned it.
Right. On the cover of wait a minute. Hang on. I meant to do this one. The magic.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
On the New York Times Magazine yesterday. New York Times. Bisexual male seeking like-minded friends and legitimacy. And you are not only a bisexual guy.
Yeah.
You have an amazing, funny script that... You and Ben Stiller are shopping, as they say. Ben Stiller's company.
Lingo. Yeah, Red Hour. Ben's company is the executive producing this script that I've written, this 1 hour drama that we're trying to get into the cultural pipeline, get the male bisexual subject matter onto the TV, into the people's living rooms to corrupt the youth and everyone else. And it's a script that I'm very proud of, and you know it's subject matter that has not been dealt with in TV land yet, and I did MIDI with Ben last year, and we hit it off, and I took the script to his company, and they just started up a television division, and this great executive, Debbie Liebling, who runs the TV division over there, and we're running with it, taking it out, try to sell it, and get
Debbie,
it on the
Debbie, please,
air.
Press your behind to the radio.
Liebling means darling.
Please. Our family needs kibble money, Debbie. Please.
So true.
So it's going to be Will and Grace and Steve?
Well, it's funny
it you
bring
that up. It
is
hilarious script. Give the premise.
When I conceived it, I literally, you know, my aspiration for it is no less than Will and Grace in terms of, you know, kind of how that show moved the needle on issues attending to gay things. You know, it's my hope that this will sort of put information and lessen the sting about bisexuality by putting a fun face on it. This character Adam, who's sort of an accidental politician in New York, who, you know, hitherto for has been just sort of undefined sexually and sort of, you know, sleeps around, a bit of a rake with rakish charm. But then all of a sudden he's thrust into the political spotlight and has to define himself as one does, both
right.
politically and sexually. And it actually plays a little bit on the kind of like bipartisan bisexual thing, the idea that we're sort of inherently uncomfortable. We want bipartisan solution, but we're inherently uncomfortable with independent politicians, and
right.
I think there's a sort of parallel between that and sexuality,
right.
you know?
Right, but then your character starts dating a woman and has to hide it.
Right,
it
has to be in the closet, which is, you know, and that's brought up in this great New York Times piece.
And you have to have two closets.
Exactly.
Well, because he's named them the head of, like, gay outreach for the mayor's
right,
office, and so
exactly.
he starts dating a woman and he has to hide the...
The fact that he's having a relationship with a woman, which, you know, sort of plays on... You know, is not an uncommon story, and it's brought up in this New York Times piece, which is just fantastic and a must read. But you know, that's very real to life. What happened to me of you know, defining as gay in my 20s, and then you know, but having sort of clandestine relationships with women, then falling in love with a woman, and having to sort of confront that, and then hiding it. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Why am I hiding having a relationship with a woman? Everyone loves this idea of heterosexuality. I should embrace this. And so, you know, having to sort of come out of a closet twice is I can't highly recommend it, but it's something you have to do.
It's a closet with two doors.
And not to take a peek, I'm just saying I can confirm this Jim is having, you know, lived with him off and on for many years.
Yes. The swinging door.
I've
as it were.
Met guys, and then I've heard him come home from a date and complain about how much he spent and he didn't get any from a woman. So I can confirm, beer drinking, March Madness watching, He-Man.
Complicated.
That he is.
Complicated.
It's complicated, as they say. Yeah, this article I'm reading. Who knew there was such a thing? The Los Angeles-based American Institute of Bisexuality.
Oh yeah, I know, right? Well, get on board. It's bisexual.org. This place is off the charts. They're really, you know, they have a site called Bi Magazine. They've been around for a while, but they are starting to, starting to take off. And it's just interesting to watch, you know, the movement is kind of just coming into its own. I mean, which is, you know, not to say that, you know, Robinox and Fritz Klein on down, there have been these people who have carried the torch for years and years, but I think it's just weird. Like, everyone has their place in the queue. You see the trans kids coming up, barking to get their place and talk about theirs. Like, everyone wants to get their issue on the table. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, get back. The buyers are next. And, but I think, I think this is our moment. And so, and this organization that is behind this funding for this research, which is hilarious about it, is in order to be have a legitimate place at the table in America,
right.
you got to be scientifically proven to exist. You know?
We need to call here later. Where is it? The American Institute of Bisexuality? I just want to know what that's like. Hi, is Mike there? No, he's not at his desk. We don't know which way he went. How do you get there? Can you go both ways?
On the fly.
Some folks do go both ways.
How do you?
Wow.
Who knows which way to go to get there?
Tell me, did you think of that last night when you were in bed, Joe Pepper? That just came out of your mouth.
Now, are there going to be stick-up-the-butt buys who... object to that joke?
I'm guessing there will be.
I think bis in general have a good sense of humor. You have to, because you're the butt of so many jokes.
Hey,
you know, that's the best I can do. I'm not a stand-up, folks.
Paulie has been very, politically involved. You were out there for Howard Dean, and you know, we talked about this, that I have, talked to friends that are in the trenches of the political movement for marriage equality.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's something... You know that I'm not personally acquainted with it.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, and I've said, does this hurt? Because this is what the argument is. It hurts the whole born this way thing that implies choice. But I'm going, but there's the B has always been an LGBT.
Right.
Like, and I think that's why it is an interesting issue. And I've said this many times, Paul, but somebody called the show once, and I thought it was the best argument I'd heard. They said, you know, were you born with a desire to sleep with someone of an opposite race, or did you choose it? And in a free country, what difference should it make?
Exactly.
So I don't get why, you know.
And
you sent me a piece Frank Bruni wrote about this.
That's the cogent point. Yeah, I'm plugging everybody this morning. But Frank Bruni wrote this amazing piece a couple years ago, an op-ed in the New York Times, where he really parsed out, you know, this idea that the modern gay rights movement has been built on a sort of born this way idea as a way of, you know, if someone's born this way, you can't legitimately discriminate against them. But his point was that, you know, you don't have to be born this way. You know, we protect religious freedom because it feels consonant with who you are. We protect the right to bear guns. You know, there are things that should be enshrined, you know, as our as rights in our Constitution that enable people to pursue happiness and fulfillment and be consonant with who they are. So, you know, if someone, you know, you don't have to be born this way in order for it to be a right. And I think that's been an understandable but a misstep nonetheless that the movement has built, you know, tried to build the entire movement on, because it's sort of like throwing bisexuals under the bus just to achieve, you know,
gay rights.
Is it a double-decker bus?
Ah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here's a part that'll make Jim pay attention. Not to delve into my personal life, but many of you have met my previous girlfriends.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about the previous girlfriend. Now, that's something I definitely have a lot to say about.
Let's talk about them all.
Do we use substitute names, or do we use those sort of phone names?
He has enough on me to bury me forever.
God, you guys have no idea. It's unbelievable.
But seriously, I've said this before that, you know, is this the dirty little secret we're not supposed to talk about? And, you know, we've heard always sexuality more fluid with women. But
right.
I think every woman I've been with has either been married to a man or been with men.
Right.
Or, you know, and I don't even know. It would differ among them what labels they use or not, whether it's, you know.
Sure.
And I'm just saying that's the part you're like, are you not supposed to talk about this? Because most people I know have had you know, that sort of experience their life. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the sticking point, and when now we're sort of delving into the sort of the internecine LGBT, you know, infighting and stuff, is that, you know, there's been this whole thing between the difference as bisexuality exists between men and women, and slowly, whether because it's titillating for men or what, like, we've eventually come around to, yes, bisexuality exists in women. There's more fluidity in the way female sexuality presents itself, but, you know, and that's why a lot of the studies cited in this article, this New York Times piece that came out, a Northwestern study in 2005, and then a sort of a restudy of that study, all sort of focusing on male bisexuality, because that's been the sort of sticking point of people saying, well, that doesn't exist. Yes, women, you know, can be bisexual, men can't. And, you know, ultimately, what they're starting to learn is that, you know, it really depends on how you build the experiment and the science. I mean, these experiments are crazy. They're hooking up gadgets to people's penises and, you know, showing them porn. And it's like, and of course the question is like, well, you know, there's all sorts of things that, you know, I think one of the things that has always struck me is that I experience my sexuality, you know, in what may be considered a feminine way, that, you know, romantically or emotionally. Like, I find attraction to people that grows out of, you know, an emotional connection or finding them intellectually interesting or whatever, and then attraction grows out of that. And people think of that as a very female way to express attraction. But I don't think that's I think we've overlooked, you know, part of the population myself.
Right. I mean, and this piece covers, and, you know, you and I have talked about it too, that there's people I love, like Andrew Sullivan, but you were saying, like, Andrew Sullivan doesn't get to define.
Boo. For Andrew Sullivan.
You know, he doesn't, but because he's
a polarizing figure.
Right, well, he calls it BS. He goes, oh, yeah, I was a bi guy, too, when I was whatever. It's a gateway to
being
gay.
But that's a perfect point.
And you go, just because that was his path doesn't mean he gets to define your path.
We call that universalizing a personal experience, and that happens a lot. Is that, you know, and again, that's mentioned in this article, is that, you know, a particular gay man may have had the experience of a bisexual person they knew or dated or whatever who turned out to be gay, or they themselves identified as bi and then turned out to be gay. And so you take that personal experience and apply it to everyone. And, of course, you know, that way danger treads in any regard, you know, to sort of in any respect, to sort of say that's true for me, therefore it must be true for everybody. And that's just, that's bogus. And we're better than that, and I think Andrew Sullivan has been guilty of that, and shame on him if he's listening.
I just saw Dan Savage in Seattle at Sexy Liberal.
Boo for him, too.
All right. Don't get Mama in trouble with all her gay friends now.
No. Listen, in the larger picture, I respect a lot of what these guys are doing, but I just think that it's a maturation process, and we need to grow, but we can't, the buys, it says in this New York Times speech, which is hilarious, that the last, I guess it was a quote from the show Girls, that, you know, someone remarks that the last two people that you can still make fun of are Germans and bisexuals. And, you know, we can keep Germans on the list, as far as I'm concerned, but we got to take bis off the list. We can't continue to be the butt of the
They're called zweisexuals.
All right. Fascinating stuff. Ask Steffi's nephew as we continue. It is 19 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Fred, with his Uncle Paulie. Hey, everybody. My tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald, is here live in studio with us.
Not exactly a tiny baby.
He's the most handsome, romantic, talented man in the world. He is shopping around a script, as they say. It's a fabulous script. And it is about this very subject of the New York Times Magazine about bisexual men. Or, you know, people in general. But this one, the piece focuses
on the dudes.
On
the dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, the young
dude. And anyway, hilarious script. He was in Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller, who was a huge fan.
Good guy.
I like
Ben.
To brag about my baby nephew. Oh, someone tweeted us that we should do a reality version of Grey Gardens. Grey Gardens.
Yep. Yeah, we beat you to the punch on that one. Yeah. I'm working on a AFAB meets Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
A little more booze than
Grey Gardens.
Grey Gardens, a little less.
He's an Irishman, Mr. Fitzgerald. There's a little bit of a.
goodness. Well, Mama breaks open the wine at 4:30. It's a little difficult to come home and, you know.
I saw her wine shipment arrive on Friday.
Listen.
Wow.
You don't want it. You want a humbling experience? Mama thought she lost her cell phone over the weekend. She's like, I think I dumped it in the recycling bin. Could you go look for it? I mean to tell you, to dig through the bottles and cans we accumulated over the weekend.
Did you find the cask of Amontillado down there?
It's really something to behold.
Wow.
I was like, wow, who drank all this wine and beer?
Who's
been here?
Just us.
Just two teetotalers.
Now the reality show has come magically full circle. This is it. This is my life. My tiny baby nephew and I. And we are Grey Gardens, but with dogs.
Just shuffling away our days in pajamas and glasses of wine and two big furry white dogs.
I want to see Steffi do the patriotic dance.
Sue in Rockville, you're on with my tiny baby nephew, Paul.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Sue.
I have a little bit of advice for you.
Sure.
For the entire time you're staying there, would you just admit that you are older than Steph? Because every time she introduces you, first she was 10 years older than you, then she was 9 years older than you. Now she's down to 8 years.
7 or 8, something like that.
So just change and you'll be good. That's number one.
Yeah, back in the day in Hollywood, Sue, when I still cared about, you know, how old people thought I was, like, don't say you're my nephew. Say you're my cabana boy. Something.
No, I would always explain to people that she's more like a sister. More like just a barely older sister, really.
When he first came here, Sue, all his friends were like, dude, you're living with your aunt?
You like somewhere there's candy?
My sister-in-law is only 18 months older than my husband, and he has the bruises to show every time he doesn't admit he's the oldest one. He gets a kick.
My sister, his mom, is 18 years older than I am, and I do remember that one time when we were somewhere, they said, oh, who's older?
Yeah, you never ask that question. Stephanie, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
Okay. The world would be a far better place if we all loved people like Fred and Max. Because look at Fred. Between Jim and Paul, he doesn't care who's straight. He doesn't care who's bi. He doesn't care. If we loved people the way dogs love people, we would be in a much better place.
God put dogs on earth to teach people how to love, Sue.
Yeah, well said,
exactly
Sue.
Right.
And by the way, we can confirm this in our own family. Fred, definitely gay. Max, totally straight. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Fred is just as sweet and soft as they come. Was that a stereotype about gay people?
No, I can confirm. Fred cannot get enough of any male that comes in the house. And
so is
Max,
it Ace or Gary?
Max with Gary. Any of my girlfriends? Totally creepy.
Oh, really?
Like Barry White.
Love.
Seriously.
rubbing up against for
the
some
way
love.
He looks at them and just.
Oh, baby.
Hi. My.
We've got everyone represented here in this.
You know, just sniffing at inopportune moments. Max,
inopportune places.
Okay. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with the tiny baby nephew. Hello. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. Paul, that comment you made, I'm going to use that forever, that globalization of personal experience. I thought that was just a brilliant comment. And I don't know if that's original to you or not. You can take credit for it as far as I'm concerned. But
he is brilliant.
Applicability is, he is. Well, you know, clearly the Miller family has something going on there with the genes, you know, the smart genes. But the applicability of that statement is across the board. You know, American nationalism, religious issues. You know, well, my experience is the norms. Therefore, everyone else should be just like me. And whether they're conscious of thinking that way, that certainly is the behavior that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. A, I mean, you know, that is one of the things that I'm, you know, hoping to or you know planning to explore in this TV show I've written, because it's using that idea as it relates to sexuality as a jumping off point to discuss just the type of stuff you're talking about. It's such a great platform, an applicable platform to talk about so many other issues, and that's kind of like the sort of the twist that I'm hoping to explore, you know,
well,
dramatically.
If I could ask one additional thing, how do you respond then to individuals who say, well, see, you know, from a bisexual standpoint, you weren't just, you really weren't interested in men. You were just trying to figure things out, and now that you're like women, that's where you're going to stay. I mean,
he will answer that after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What is wrong with me? I feel like two totally different people. Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hoare.
That's
it is
beauty.
The Stephanie Miller Show, starring my tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald, who is a brilliant actor, writer, director, hot, bisexual. You know what that did, Chris?
What?
That just opened up the plethora of $1,000 stalkers.
That's right.
They pay Free Speech TV $1,000 to come visit Mama at home because... Right?
That's
men,
right.
Men, women.
Four more days. Come find me in the Barker Lounger.
Right?
First one on the left as you go into the living room.
Like I need more catnip for this $1,000 stalker contest. Freespeech.org. Do it. All right. Dave in Minneapolis before the break. You had a quick question for Paul. Go ahead, Dave. Just say one more time.
I was going to ask you. Actually, now I have an additional one. First of all, would you lend me $1,000 so I can donate it to you so I can go meet your nephew?
No.
You have a fiancé. Come on.
Yes, you're getting married soon.
I know, but I still have vision. Anyway, the thing I originally was asking is, how do you, Paul, explain to people or say to people when they make the comment, well, see, you just had to figure out that you really were straight. You weren't really bisexual because now you experienced, you know, the other side of things, and so therefore you must be interested. I was married and came out, and I had, you know, more than one person say to me, well, I know your wife, and I can see why you were attracted to her, but maybe you just hadn't met the right, you know, a woman yet. And I went, no, that has nothing to do with my desire for plumbing. So how do you respond to that? Because this is fascinating to me. It really is.
I think, you know, for everyone's experience is different, certainly, but I think for me over time, I mean, I would be lying if I said, you know, my process took anything more than just like a lot of time in the laboratory, Dave, of just sort of...
I've been there.
Really,
listen,
you know,
I've picked up the empty beakers.
were you knocking your test tubes together, is what you were saying?
The spilled beakers. It was a long experience of really... taking the experiences and trying to figure out what they meant to me and, you know, how sort of deeply rooted they were in my person and whether, you know, and then eventually just starting to recognize that, you know, there was just their own kind of like parody between the experiences and so, you know, I stopped at some point trying to make one more true than the other and just started to accept that they were both true, which
okay.
I just think is, you know, anathema and culturally, but also sometimes personally, for whatever reason. I mean, listen, we live in a kind of black, white, with us or against us, and we make fun of those things, but there's the simplicity of like, you know, with us or against us or, you know, this or that is something, I think, you know, ambiguity is unnerving. It makes people anxious, you know. Certainly.
Well, you know, I was going to say, and also there's those, you know, there's a lot of, you know, what's the word? I mean, whether it's just feelings about bisexuals, and they come from gay and straight. I talked to a straight woman friend. She's like, I'd never date, you know, a bisexual guy.
Yeah.
Because there's a, you know, he's going to be promiscuous. And yet I think it's interesting that, like you were saying, I don't know if there's a big difference between men and women, but Let's review, shall we?
The basics.
My long-term relationship, you know, she was married to a man, you know, and again, but now she's with a woman, my ex, as you know, and so I guess she would identify as gay now, but you know, and there's famous women in Hollywood, whether it's Meredith Baxter or other people. I mean, everybody, mm-hmm. I have several friends that say, you know, that have either been married to men and either say they didn't realize they were gay yet.
Sure.
Or maybe they identify as bi, or I've had at least two girlfriends that said, I enjoy sex with men, I fall in love with women.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I think it's a different process for everybody, and why people can't respect that, I don't get either.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, to me, it's a shame. It's fine if, you know, after being married to a man forever, you meet the woman, you're like, you realize I'm gay. Why would I have a problem with that? But it's a shame that you have to then feel like you have to go identify as gay as opposed to as a way of sort of refuting that entire last relationship you had. Like, that was never real, and now this is the real thing. I mean, I don't know why they can't both be real at different times in your life, and there's a different experience.
Right.
But that gets into this issue I'm seeing up on your board here about Bruce from why I'm jumping ahead in the queue. I think that is this interesting idea of like why, you know, born this way, the implication that you can't be born bisexual, this idea that, you know, once things get caught in the kind of like you're this or that, to then change, you have to sort of say, well, to then, you know, do something different, you have to say, well, I was never that other thing. I'm now this new thing, as opposed to, no, I'm just somewhere in the whole spectrum of it. You
and
know?
I always wondered, am I unusual? But I probably, as I'm sitting here, can think of 10, maybe at least 10 women I know that have either were married to men and are with a woman now, or the opposite way.
Yeah.
And you go, what do you say? Were they straight then and now they're gay, or they were gay then and now they're straight? I mean, I think that the true progress will be when we get rid of all these labels.
I know. Well, listen.
Right?
The big funny thing about the bisexual thing is you'll hear this over and over within the bisexual community, so-called. As well as anywhere, it was just, I hate the label bisexual. You hear that so often. I don't want to use the word. Yes, I'm in the spectrum somewhere. I'm fluid, but I don't want to use the word bisexual. I don't love the word any more than anyone else. Who wants to go around, you know, to my nieces and nephews? I'm bisexual. Like, I don't want to talk about sex. Like, and that's why we lost eventually heterosexual or homosexual rather than, you know, gay became the rage because you took the word sex out of it. It's no fun.
Made it less clinical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and so the label sucks, you know, but I do think that I believe I came to the belief that going through the label period is just a necessary phase before you can get out of the label. You have to sort of own the label before you can get rid of the label, I think. And that's
here's a Miller Fitzgerald family fun fact. Paul and I came out the same Christmas to our family. We call it coming out Christmas. And
I call it upstaging.
Right, like a typical hammy actor, he totally upstaged my announcement to my sister.
A big moment.
I was like, what? Who cares about Paul? This is my
moment.
Did you planet, or was it because she came out, you decided to?
Well, it's hard to say. Memory is so foggy. I don't remember if I was feeling a little like I needed to steal the spotlight. Give me the microphone, Mama. It was a give me the microphone, Mama moment.
Like, for instance, you want to go to Bruce, and apparently jumping you're hosting right into Bruce. The show now. Bruce in Maine, you're on with Paul. Hi, Bruce.
Paul, you made reference to what I said, and it was like, you know, when I was young, the first person I had a crush on without having any bias anyway was a guy, and my next crush was a girl, and I married a woman and spent 12 years with her. I've been with a guy. It's like, I don't know why. I know how they use the born this way thing, but I was born this way. I'm not biased one way or another, and it's not from anything I learned or was taught or how to behave. I mean, obviously, I knew being gay was wrong, you know, in my generation, but I just always felt that way. So,
right. And Bruce, I think I don't know if you read this Frank Bruni piece that Paul and I were talking about. You know, Frank is gay, but he wrote a piece called Born This Way. Like, you know, it is the anthem, but should it be? And who knows what combination of genes or you know, choice or environment.
Khakis.
Clearly, there must be some genetic component just based on this morning's evidence. However.
But the idea of what Bruce is talking about is the idea of why, if, you know, why does born this way, you know, have to preclude being born bi? And I don't think it does, Bruce. You know, to your point, I think at some point in the process of the nomenclature, the idea of born this way became born this way or that way. Like it, that became right. implicit in the idea of born this way is that you're either born gay or you're not born gay, or you're born straight, you're not born straight.
Well, and because people, like you say, they have trouble with gray areas. They want black right. or white. And I think the fact is that I think sexuality is probably a spectrum. I think some people are born straight, straight. Some people are born gay, yeah. gay. And I think an awful lot of people are somewhere, you know, in the middle.
Yeah. You've been with a dude or two.
I have. Well, you know, when I was coming out, I remember I was talking to the gay whisperer of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright. She was kicking me out of the closet with her giant cowboy boot.
That's right. They're pointy,
nosy,
too.
Nosy, nosy, nosy. But I was saying, first of all, and a lot of us go through this, where you go, you know, I actually, for the fact that I talk about my life at times for a living, I've been very private. Like, I don't talk about everything. My actual private life, because other people's privacy is involved as well. And so I think I was talking to her about it, and I said, well, you know, I'm just private, and, you know, yes, I felt like even for me it would hurt the movement back then that I was attracted to men or had been with men.
Right.
And she said, well, maybe you're bi. And I said, for me, I don't think that's authentic, because the last time I had a date with a man was in a Packard. So I don't really – because my primary relationships have been with women for
right.
many years. So I don't think it's authentic for me to say that,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But –
And, you know.
But by the way, my friend Rob still holds out hope that he's going to be with me and that I'm going to come on the air and go, Mama's got something else to
what
tell
does,
you.
What does Trish think of this?
He doesn't care about Trish.
Oh, God.
You're saying I have to go bang Trish now? Okay.
Yes, all and right. you need to comfort Trish.
Do it for the show. Yes.
No, we take both love and care about Trish. We're hoping she'll be fine.
I think my partner would do Trish.
Trish getting some love this morning.
Yeah, Trish is hot. You know, I'm just hot. Saying, nobody needs to worry about Trish in this whole situation of Rob and I ending up together.
I put the keys in the bowl with Trish.
That's good. He's been through a few ice storms here at the.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the hallways upstairs late at night.
I'm sure it gets a little messy.
A little handsy.
If the, wall, yeah. if the walls could talk in this house.
Good night. Good night. Good night, John Boy.
Mary Ellen.
What the hell? Ron wow. in Connecticut. You're on.
No idea.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks. And hi, Paul.
Hello.
Paul, I'm really, really thrilled that you're on the show and that you're talking about the New York Times article and bisexuality. I'm a bisexual activist myself and the editor of 3 books on bisexual men. And this has been, as you clearly understand, this has been a problem, is that either bisexuality is not spoken of, or when it is, it's spoken of as being a transient identity, that there's no there.
Right, you're like a sexual hobo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I've tried making the point in emails to you, Stephanie, is like using expressions like bi-curious, yeah. you know, they're not helpful.
Oh, you're talking about the woman that hit on me on the plane.
Yeah, she was curious.
But she was bi-curious. Well, she was curious as to whether she could shove her tongue in my mouth.
Bi-curious, though, did she?
No, she
maybe she's bike-curious. She's in
no,
wearing her bicycle.
No, we were at the bar in the Tucson airport, as you are.
Yeah, sure.
Like you do at Tucson in the airport.
Right. There were flight delays, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne.
No need to count the wine bottles in there. Anyway, and so, yeah, no, we were chatting, and she was showing me a guy she'd been dating on Match.com, and she was going to visit her kids, and she was divorced, and whatever, and so then she said, what about you? I'm like, I'm gay, and I'm just saying, suddenly there was...
And suddenly the curiosity was piqued.
Right, and I'm just saying, during the flight, she just reached over, like she was...
Well, had you been in Threeson, it could have gotten more interesting.
Hey!
Stephanie's a curiosity creator.
Threeson.
Tucson sounds like Tucson. Just saying.
In a related story.
She just, like she was offering me a mint, she said, could I kiss you?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no. Thanks.
Goodness.
Thanks.
Wow.
Right.
That's out of left field.
Yeah.
That's bi-curious, isn't it?
I think so.
Is that
yeah.
not helpful? Why is that not helpful for me to say bi-curious?
I don't have a thing with the bi-curious thing. But I can you know respect Ron. Sounds like he's been involved in the movement longer than me. So there may be some baggage with bi-curious. To me, it's kind of hot.
In a related story, a barge carrying 924,000 gallons of thick marine shipping oil collided with the ship near the Texas City dike on Saturday, and she was pissed. She was just livid.
What do you bring to this serious discussion? All right, 46 minutes.
There's only one?
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
Are you trying to dance?
Listen, what, it's
why is your tongue out of your mouth?
It's a breakup song.
I think she's having a grandma seizure.
Someone get a pencil.
My tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald, who is turning the entire nation bi-curious this morning.
Yeah. Let's do this, folks.
1-800-STEP-1-2. We've counseled each other through, you know, a few breakups.
A
let's
few.
Just
we have loved and we have lost in this house.
Yes.
Your dog, Fred, as I pointed out earlier, is tri-tip curious.
Oh, Jim. Yeah, we were saying this is the cover of the New York Times Magazine is about a bisexual male seeking like-minded friends and legitimacy, how a new breed of activists is using science to prove there's something real between straight and gay. My fabulous actor, writer, director,
Stray
nephew.
Or gate.
has written a script that Ben Stiller is producing, but and it's about this very subject. It's a bisexual man himself.
Yep.
But it's a hilarious script, actually. It's very funny.
It is. We're in the process of taking it out there for sale and hoping to get some, you know, some content about bisexual males into the cultural pipeline.
He has to hide his relationship with a woman in the script. It's hilarious.
Yes,
and I believe the first scene, your boyfriend catches you having sex in a bathroom with a woman.
Wow. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Oh.
What hasn't been produced yet? Just saying.
Right.
But it should be. Hurry up. Mama needs some box for money. Good old money. Yeah, but anyway, and he was also the hole in Walter Mitty that fired everybody. One of the bearded holes. We were saying, that there's so many. I mean, this piece itself is great. We were talking about Ellen Page.
Yes.
Just came out, and then we were right before that talking about Maria Bello's piece in the New York Times. I'm just reading through here. Some people, bisexual women in Hollywood, I did not realize. Drew Barrymore, I knew. Megan Fox.
Hello.
Although John Fugelsang has said that she's kind of like the weather in Florida, hot and unpleasant.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's true. But. But anyway, but, you know, and I think that's an interesting thing is, you know, someone, Ellen Page talked about that and was so moving, I thought, you know, just because she's a very pretty sort of, you know, leading lady type in Hollywood and the pressures that come with that. And you, look at you, manly, mad, March Madness watching, beer swilling. Guy, you were saying my favorite story is you were on a set once and you were playing a gay guy.
Yes.
And the director said what to you? Remember, he said it needs to be a little more.
A little flip of the wrist.
Yeah. He said, can you make it a little more like this? And he just went like that with his wrist.
And this was not that long ago, and I was like, wow.
Really?
Yeah. I was really like, oh goodness. And I thought I was, you know. God help us all, flouncing around as much as this is what they wanted me to do. The joke in that case is that character on that show was not gay, so he wanted to push how gay I was seeming. But of course, boy, we got caught in the crosshairs of some really shaky political correctness there in the
Wow.
Hollywood. You got to make a buck,
Christopher.
He has a master's. He's like, MBA? Really? It's come down to
really?
This.
more flip of the wrist. All right, sir.
Okay,
that was his note.
Let's go back to one. I'll try it again.
Joshua in Albuquerque, you're on with Paul. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Steph. I'd like the official 29-year-old bisexual man serving as Stephanie Miller.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Good?
Yep.
also, Paul, I can agree with you entirely because I'm a bisexual male, and when it comes to the label stuff, I have to say that the way I describe myself is gender indifferent because I have no preference to either.
Okay.
You're a Libra, aren't you? We know your type.
I think gender indifference. I've never heard that phrase. I think that's pretty great. I mean, you know, my two cents on this. Not that you asked for it, but because I got this big microphone in my face, is that you know, I think gender indifferent. I think fluid, pansexual. I've only become recently aware of how much infighting there is in the bisexual community about what term to use. And I can only say that I think, you know, we're at a point in the sort of trajectory of this thing. We're at a movement point, which is like we're really going to move on this topic. And I think, you know, for better or worse, these things come down to branding. Like, people got to, you know, you got 2 seconds in front of people's attention, and you got to be able to have say what the hell's going on. And so you say bisexual as opposed to all these other things, which then just confuses people even more.
Right, but I think a lot of, and you and I have talked about this, that people politically involved in the marriage equality movement say, this does hurt us. We're, like, this close to the finish line of marriage equality nationwide, and this is catnip. To the right wing and the Christian conservatives that go, ha-ha, see, it is a choice. You're not born that way.
I think that's true, and I think that, you know, it's important to sort of address that front and center, because that's, you know, Frank Bruner brings that up, sort of, you know, that this will be used as a cudgel, you know, by our enemies. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess I'm a purist in that, you know, you've got to build whatever you're building on a solid foundation. And whether, you know, this cat gets let out of the bag now or after, like, it, you know, we're going to have our moment. We're not just going to disappear, you know, bisexual people aren't. So at some point we've got to confront, you know, but again, I think to the point of someone earlier, like, being bisexual doesn't undermine being gay or straight. It doesn't mean that gay or straightness doesn't exist, you know?
Right. And that's something I was saying in my own life. I thought, do I talk about this, the reality of, you know, the women that I've been with? And does this hurt the movement? But you go there, you know, truth is truth.
Truth is truth, man. You can't, you know, you can't get away from it.
And it's interesting, speaking of Christian conservatives, this is a piece in the LA Times yesterday, how anti-gay Christians evangelize hate abroad. I mean, make no mistake.
Oof. Yeah.
What these people are about, because they're losing the battle here.
Yeah.
This is why this stuff is getting done in Uganda. This is American.
Nigeria and Russia. I mean, we're planting the seeds abroad.
And you come from Jerry Falwell's backyard in Lynchburg,
absolutely.
Virginia.
Yeah, these guys, Scott Lively, this guy, you know, who's led this delegation to Uganda and stuff. I mean, you know, there's no question that we need to get our house in order so that we can take leadership where we've started to sow hate across the ocean. I mean,
what they did at Fred Phelps' funeral, you fight hate with love. They had signs saying, "We're sorry for your loss."
There you go.
There you go. Yep. Fight
love
hate
them.
With love.
Love them.
Paul Fitzgerald, how do we find out things about you if we're not related to you?
Listen, you know what? Find me at paulfitzgerald.com. I don't know whose website that is. Not mine. But
oh.
I can tell you one thing. I'll leave you with this. The most misunderstood thing about bisexuals is that it's exhausting being attracted to both people, which means I need more sleep.
All right, goodbye. We'll see you.